G'day guys, welcome into another episode of the Tripod, and we've got a special one today. We're going to be breaking down State of Origin Game 1, and we are joined by Clarkie from Clarkie's Rugby League column. Mate, how you going?
Hey, very good. Thank you for having me on, boys. Should be a good one.
It should be a really good one, mate. And we've been doing a bit of stuff with you throughout the season, including with Jacob and stuff, and I did want to introduce that, I guess, because we pipped you at the post with the tip-off. And but you also, we both made money, and it was for a good cause, obviously, for charity. But, mate, to make money over an entire season, picking a game a week is pretty solid stuff.
Yeah, man, that was really fun. Obviously, the crux of it all and the best part was we got to support Aussie charities. But I got to admit, I was a little bit dirty. I had you boys up until the last two rounds, and then two of the biggest upsets of the year, and you boys were on them both, which was very, very good picks. So I was a little bit dirty, but at the same time, you can't be angry. I mean, we had a lot of fun and we got to support charity, so that's what it's all about.
That's right. If people don't recall, it was one head-to-head pick we each made in all 20 weeks of the season. Clarkie, you won 17 out of 20 weeks, and your ROI, you were picking mostly favourites. So people think it's easy, but on a whole season, to make a profit and you returned like about 115% of your outlay, that is bloody impressive. You're not shopping for prices. You're just taking one bookie on one day and you still made money. And for us, we should admit, we had the Bulldogs to upset the Bunnies in round 19 over $7 odds. And then, you know, is this controversial? We tipped the Dragons to beat the Storm on Tuesday morning of round 20 before it came out that the Storm were playing their B team. So we got $7.50 odds. We needed that to make a profit for our season. So I think we made 30%. But, mate, your followers chose the Black Dog Institute. So shout out to you and your followers. $500 went to them. Ours chose Ronald McDonald House Charities. $500 went to them. And on that note, mate, also, congratulations. You've had a massive year. You put up awesome rugby league content. If people don't know, they should. You hit 100,000 followers on Facebook. And people can follow you on Instagram as well. What are you? Are you 50,000?
Yeah, closing in 50 as well. 50, on Instagram.
Well done, bro. But also, I want to tell people who don't realize, and you can explain how this works. But you make a small revenue stream. Is it mostly patron people giving a dollar or two, and you actually then donate that money every month as well, don't you?
Yeah, correct. So I've got the Patreon set up, and that's you can subscribe for $1 per month there. And whilst it's a small amount, the idea I have is if I can get enough people to come together every single month, that's donated to a charity of my followers' choice. And then if you see ads where you'll see shout outs on my story every now and then, you'll see this post is proudly brought to you by, every single cent of that also goes to charity. So it's a lot of fun.
That's fantastic, mate. And you're really making a big difference. So you should feel good about that. Look, we've just gotten through a hell of an NRL season. And I asked you before we get into Origin 1, do you have like a couple of kind of standout highlight moments of the season that we've just witnessed that was like no other?
Yeah, I went for three basic ones because 2020 is absolutely crazy. We could probably name hundreds if we really thought about it. So I just went three nice, simple ones. Number one, I went for the six again rule. I think that really sped up the game. How that influences Origin as well is still really exciting. So I loved that rule change. Number two was the Warriors. I know a lot of people work away from home and it happens a lot, but the thing is we need to remember this just blindsided everyone, and especially the Warriors, who got told you're coming over here for a little bit, to all of a sudden, if you leave, the competition's done and sorry, you're not seeing your family for the rest of the year. I can't imagine how tough that would have been. And number three, this one's probably a little bit cheeky, but correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the Gold Coast Titans officially finished 2020 with the longest win streak, because the Penrith Panthers was, of course, snapped in the grand final. The Titans finished on a 5 or 6 game win streak, which I know you, as a Titans fan, you certainly got to celebrate the little victories, and that's a little bit of a cheeky one that I'll claim.
And 2020 is looking even better.
Capped off with an Origin selection too for Brimson.
Oh, it's so great to see a lot of our young players in there for the Maroons squad. It's so important for the club moving forward for our young guns to get in there, get the experience. And like you say, it's really great positive signs moving forward into 21.
And we touched on this last week. It is disappointing for Queensland that David Fifita will not be available due to that ankle injury. But, I mean, if Big Tino Fasumalawi has a big Origin series, doesn't that signing by the Titans look even greater? That, you know, when they got him a little bit earlier this year, he was somewhat unheralded, but it looks like a hell of a recruit. Alex, did you have a highlight of 2020 that stood out to you?
I did. I mean, you make a good point there, Dane, in regards to the Titans, because, like, you know, you look at various other teams and like the Titans are one of those teams that you just watch and you know what you're going to get every single week. They put in every single week, even when they were out of contention. So that's going to set them up real nicely for some big signings next year. I had a couple of things. My first one, I guess first and foremost, is just the rise of the Panthers and Nathan Cleary. I think, you know, no one really saw that happening. I mean, they were picking him to basically make the eight at the start of the year. And, you know, Cleary's really done something with that team, and that's something to build on for next year. And then, you know, the craziest thing really for me was our Brisbane Broncos just being absolutely woeful this season. And after a 2-0 start with all those, you know, big forwards there, no one saw that coming either. And it wasn't just, you know, the losses. It was the, you know, some of the performances on the field and the lack of effort, I think, that, you know, really shocked me.
That was shocking. Well, and Panthers winning 17 in a row, like, you can't understate how amazing that is. It could be a long time before we ever see an NRL club do that. My moment of the season, Alex, you were there. It happened at Suncorp Stadium. It was some good footy being played at Suncorp Stadium. Mine is the last 15 minutes of Storm Roosters in round 8, if you recall.
Crazy.
Let me take you back. Thursday night football, the Storm didn't have Munster. It's 16-12 to the Roosters. It's a Roosters try in the 68th minute. It's a Storm try 2 minutes later. It's another Storm try 2 minutes later. The Storm goes from being down 10 and buried to the Roosters side that had looked unbeatable after the restart to all of a sudden they're winning. But wait, we get a Flanagan sideline penalty goal with 2 minutes to go for a tied game. Then we get a Keary field goal with a minute to go to win the game for the Roosters. Only the Storm regathers the kickoff. And Pappenhausen, who later is obviously the grand final hero, kicks a 45-meter field goal with a few seconds to go. As we know, the Storm wins it in extra time. And we all knew in the moment that was an epic game. But it was actually a changing of the guard. It was the back-to-back champs being kind of unseated by the future champs, the 2020 champs. And if you ask the Storm outside of the grand final itself, I mean, that win probably springs to mind as about their fondest of the year. And that was just an incredible rugby league game. And it also showcased the new rules, which, as you said, Dane, we need to look at that context. This is the first ever Origin game we're going to have with the new rules. Now, I just want to say one more thing before we get into it. We are a punting podcast. We're going to try and give you guys tips. We find tipping Origin to be the hardest of all. We've actually done incredibly well over 5 years. But, you know, we are from Brisbane. We're Broncos fans. But we've kind of sacrificed being diehard Broncos fans to be impartial. And you guys know over the last 6 seasons, we've bet on them or happily against Brisbane when we think it's good value. We have never happily bet against Queensland. It really hurts us to do so. We have bet against Queensland a handful of times over the years. And we've actually never been wrong when we've taken New South Wales. New South Wales has won and covered the line. So we'll just keep that in mind, but we're still going to call out value as we see it. And why don't we tackle the games by looking at the team lists? And Clarkey, you start us off, mate, by telling me what you make of the New South Wales 1-17. If you've got any inside information of whether that is likely to be the starting side, and how does it compare to the side you might have picked for the Blues?
It's very interesting. I've got the two teams ahead of me at the moment. I think Freddie is sort of a pick'em and stick'em sort of coach. I don't see him springing too many late sort of surprises, whereas I'd say for Wayne Bennett, it's probably the opposite. We will see a few late surprises. The biggest surprises for me was probably Clint Gutherson in at the centres. I know that was reported beforehand, and we all sort of had a gist before, but before that report came out, I would have thought someone like Zach Lomax or maybe even Stephen Crichton would have started in the centres, just because Gutherson's best attribute is his fitness and his ability to be everywhere on a field. And I'm not sure he can really do that at centre. I know previously they've done that with Tom Trbojevic, give him sort of a roaming licence. And I hope they do that with Clint Gutherson, because at centres, that was a little bit of a surprise to me. The second one that really surprised me was Cody Walker in the 14. I would have had Ryan Pappenhausen, but as we know, he has an injured calf. And it's an interesting one for Cody, because the way he's played in Origin when he made his debut was perceived, it wasn't at his best, and a lot of people thought he was worse than what he was, and subsequently he was dropped from that team. So it's interesting, because he comes into the 14 jersey here and he really is playing for his future in the Blues squad, because if he doesn't have a blinder, then it's an easy swap next week. Pappenhausen's fit, bring him in. Cody, sorry, you're out. And the only other really change I had was I would have had Junior Paulo coming off the bench, and I would have started Payne Haas. I would have done that because Junior Paulo's best attribute for me this season has been his offloading ability. And I think you bring him and Cameron Murray on at the same time, and then you sort of disrupt Queensland's defense with, you have Junior Paulo's offloads and you have Cam Murray's quick play the balls off the back of that. And then obviously that brings Cook into the game and some of the other Blues strike weapons. So they were my three biggest surprises with that team.
Geez, they've got a lot of options, though, don't they, with their depth. Alex, what sticks out to you of the New South Wales starting side?
I'll just go off the back of Clarkey, actually. I think, you know, do you think that there could be, in a way, adding Gutho there in the centres, do you think that that's them saying, is Teddy really 100% for this one? Because I just feel as though, you know, he's been dealing with those niggling injuries, and obviously then Pappenhausen got injured, and then you've got Teddy back there, but maybe that's just for versatility, having Gutho in there, that he can, you know, if needed, replace Teddy if he somehow goes down with an injury.
It's an interesting one, because we all sort of look at Gutho and we think, oh, maybe he shouldn't be there. Are they picking him for a depth scenario? Are they picking him for this or that? But it is important to remember, and I think a lot of us are guilty of this, that he did only just miss out on the Dally M this year. He had a strong season.
Yeah.
So he does deserve to be in that Blues team. Teddy said he's 100%, whether we buy that or not. It's one of those things. He's not going to come out and say, oh, my knee's not too bad, but it's probably only 70%. He's going to want to get in the Maroons' minds and say he's at 100%. So I'm not sure Gutherson was selected purely on the merit of being versatile, but that is a great card for Freddie to have in his back pocket.
It's an interesting one too, because centre is a specialist position. You do make critical decisions in the line, and Gutherson doesn't regularly play there. Like, is that a weakness? We know that Wayne Bennett coaching the Bunnies, they love sweeping to that left-hand side, and that's the side of the field Munster's on. And, you know, he's always got the defence in two minds as it is. So Gutho's going to have to be on point. He's not the biggest body either to throw himself in front in the defensive line. But you're right, they do need cover for Tedesco. I heard that Cody Walker was even training at fullback, because my question with him is, otherwise, who do you bring him on for? You know, Cookie can play 90 minutes, and the halves is no real reason. And I think we all agree Luke Keary was the right choice at six, although the form of Cody Walker was so insatiable, some would have actually said he should have played 5/8. But I think Luke Keary, who is on debut, can you believe, has done enough to justify that spot. At right centre, I mean, you could have also even got Nick Kotrick, who has played a little bit of right centre, but also is usually a winger. Is there any other thoughts on just the lineup in New South Wales, or do you want to talk about the Queensland team, Clarkey?
Probably the last thing for me with the Blues lineup is Jack White. Like, as we just spoke then, it's a toss-up between whether you go Cody Walker or Luke Keary at 5/8. But the Blues are so blessed with depth right now. They have a man who's won a Dally M and a Clive Churchill in 5/8. And not just us, but everyone, the whole rugby league community, isn't discussing him as a genuine option there, because there's just so much depth, which is crazy. It's probably the first time I've ever seen something like that in Origin.
I'll just ask you quick, Clarkey, just on your thoughts on some of the guys that maybe missed out. I mean, obviously you've seen the team list now, but guys that spring to mind are like, you know, obviously like guys like Alex Johnson, or, you know, Clemmer's, you know, been there pretty much consistently over the last few years, like guys like Ryan Madison and stuff. Like, it's a testament to the New South Wales depth, I guess. But are there any of those guys that you would have think, you know, should have maybe been in there?
There's a few. You touched on two there. Probably for me, David Clemmer. And that was due to the fact, as soon as I saw he was omitted from that squad, I went and checked his statistics alongside other Blues forwards. And he actually ranked overall as their best available prop statistically. Yeah. He's got experience, so that was a weird one. For me, Ryan Madison was another big shock. I thought as soon as we heard Wade Graham missed out on selection, I thought Ryan Madison was locked in, because he is that big man sort of utility. And the third one for me, Isaiah Yeo. I would have really have preferred to seen him on the bench, probably over Angus Crichton. And that's not to say Crichton's played bad this year. It's just the fact that Yeo, in the big moments of the preliminaries and the grand finals, he had a lot of great touches. He can play on the edge. He can play in the middle. And I kind of like that versatility about him.
I have to say, when I watched Newcastle play, I always thought their best middle forward was Clemmer, not Daniel Saifidi. But here we are with Daniel Saifidi starting. I think Madison, he suffers from a little bit of a lack of drop in form by the Parramatta Eels in general. Like, they were on fire to start the year, and Madison probably would have got a spot. And I'm still surprised Wade Graham can't make this team, and he's got versatility as well. But again, it just talks about the strength and the depth they have. We'll have the Queensland squad up on the screen now, and the squad you would have picked, Clarkey. I mean, straight away, I'm disappointed that Harry Grant is not starting 9, but start wherever you like. What jumps out at the 1-17 Queensland will play with on Wednesday night?
I think that's probably the best place to start, Harry Grant being omitted. I know this is a young squad overall, but there was three hookers available. That was Ben Hunt, Jake Friend, and Harry Grant. And if we are talking purely about current form, I'm sorry, Ben Hunt, but that instantly removes him from the equation there. you look at Jake Friend, he has won three premierships. He's very experienced, and it's not a bad selection. He obviously deserves it, and he will play very well. But if you're going to be selecting all these other young guns around this Maroon squad, I can't see how Harry Grant misses out, because in my opinion, of all the young guns they selected, Harry Grant's the best. And that's why I'm a little bit dumbfounded as to how he missed out. Another big thing for me, I can see why Bennett's done this. Having Jai Arrow come off the bench, I think he wants to bring him on and keep sort of a little bit of experience in the middle potentially. But Jai Arrow has, you know, started in for Queensland for a very long time now. He can play 8, he can play 13, he plays big minutes. Him coming off the bench, it really did surprise me. And then, of course, this one's not confirmed yet, but very interesting. With Xavier Coates reportedly injuring his shoulder today, prior to that, we had news it was actually Philip Sammy that would be dropped. We'd have Dane Gagai on the wing and Kurt Capewell come into the centres, which I really didn't like. Kurt Capewell's played very, very well this year, but with his injuries, I believe he only managed, it was under 10 games. Of those, it was predominantly back row coming on and not playing 80-minute games. So to go from that to a faster-paced origin in the centres where you can be caught out defensively, that also raises a lot of question marks for me.
Alex, your thoughts?
I was going to say, and Harry Grant's the big one, and just, I guess, even from like, not just from a betting perspective, but from the perspective of the Maroons, you know that you're a huge underdog this year, right? So you have to pick a team, I think, that, you know, gives you a bit more variance, some guys that can make some plays, but also, you know, that can be flashy, but can also maybe lose your game. And, you know, I think Harry Grant rather than Jake Friend, because Jake Friend's the safe pick. You know what you're going to get from him. He's going to make a bunch of tackles. But is he going to win you the game as a massive underdog against New South Wales? You know, so that's the, that is one selection that I think they got wrong there. I mean, I had to duck off and turn the fan off. But I mean, like getting guys in there, like Munster, obviously, we don't know how healthy he is. And honestly, is he still on his bloody bender from winning the grand final? Yeah. That's a worry. I mean, like, but and you know what you're going to get out of Cherry. I think that's absolutely fine. But Hooker's the big one. And really, like, I know we're a huge underdog in this one. I don't think the Queensland team is all that bad. You know, we've still got guys that can make plays in there, get dirty. Like, Papali is just always a beast. You know what you're going to get out of those Storm guys, you know, Kalfusi, Christian Welch, you know, Tino now. So, you know, they've got a chance in this one. But, yeah, some of the I think Colin Hess is obviously the weak link there. But, yeah, we'll see what happens. I heard you mention at the end there that it's not Sammy that's going to come out. It's Xavier Coates, which I think is actually worse. But we'll see how it goes. But really, Queensland haven't had much to choose from this season, really. So they just don't have the depth that New South Wales does. So you don't have that many options.
And people might be surprised that Coates got in there. So I'm actually quite disappointed. I like the pick of him. So if he's injured, I can't get that game out of my head. It was Thursday night where they played Manly, and Brisbane would have won if all they did was bomb to Xavier Coates all night. Like, you hate to put high expectations on a bloke, but he looks like he's got the frame and the athleticism of a young GI. And that's, you know, in origin, snatching a bomb and also being safe under the high ball can win you a game. I have a Harry Grant take, and I don't want to be hyperbolic, right? But this really reminds me of 15 years ago, 2005. If you cast your mind back, New South Wales had won the previous 2 years and 2002 was a draw. So the last time Queensland had won a series was when Alfie Langer came back and scored the winning try in 2001. And replacing Alfie Langer was something Queensland needed to do. In 2005, you had Scott Prince, who'd played in the losing side in 2004. He was the incumbent. He was the logical seven to play for Queensland. He had the reps. He was a form halfback in the NRL. He would have played Origin far sooner if he was available for New South Wales. But Queensland rolled the dice on a young kid called Jonathan Thurston before his time. And Queensland lost the series in 2005. But in case people forgot, from 2006 to 2017, Queensland won 11 of the next 12 series, and Thurston arguably played at an immortal level. And I hate to, you know, as I said, be hyperbolic and say that I'm getting kind of reminded of that scenario when I think of the difference between picking Harry Grant or Jake Friend, but he just looks that special to me when you saw what he was doing before. Now, mate, as you mentioned previously, this is the first Origin we're going to see played under the new rules. Do you think that lends itself as an advantage to either side?
Yeah, I'd probably have to lean towards the New South Wales Blues, particularly when you look at the six again rule. I think that the hookers are the people that benefit most. They hear the call early and they have a decision whether to scoot or spread the ball early. comparing the Queensland hooker, Jake Friend, I would say he's a great defensive hooker. And then I look at Damian Cook and I'd say he's a really great defensive hooker first and foremost, but he also has that layer of attack. Obviously, being a former beach sprinter, I can see them getting a six again call. Some of the Queensland forwards being a little bit more tired than usual in Origin, and Cookie just zipping straight out and really helping his side get on the front foot there.
I tend to agree. I think it favours the team that's better in attack, and I think New South Wales clearly has more weapons. There's a couple of weaknesses in the Queensland team. One has to be kind of your lack of, I guess you'd say, dynamic outside backs, especially as you brought up the concern with Xavier Coates as well. Do you have a lean? We are a punting podcast, so the line for this game is 8 in most places. New South Wales, an 8-point favourite. I know your allegiance is obviously with Queensland. You decked out your Queensland in your Queensland beanie, but if you had to just put cold hard cash down, is there a side you like -8 New South Wales or +8 with the Maroons?
Yeah, it's really tough to, obviously you always want to back your team and you never want to if you start thinking the other team will win. But in this situation, if you take that out of it, then it's very clear to me that the Blues are the favourites here. They deserve to be the favourites here. On paper, just comparing the Maroons 2020 form to the Blues players 2020 form, then overwhelmingly the Blues win in that department. Then you go to big game experience. Again, that leans with the Blues. And then you go to the experience and the cohesion of the teams together. That Blues team is fundamentally, 1-17, very similar to the team that won in 2018. So when you compare those three very important factors, for me, it's really obvious that the Blues do deserve to be favourites here. I can definitely see them winning by more than 8 points, and therefore I favour the -8 line for the Blues over the +8 for the Maroons.
And I can't disagree with anything you said. Mentioning some people, if they like New South Wales, you can get -7.5 in some bookies. I know they're -7.5 on Sportsbet. Other bookies have the line at 8. If you like Queensland, get +8 at $2 in Ladbrokes and Neds. But I do think, even though obviously I'm a Queenslander as well, I think the value is with New South Wales. I think the line looks high and people think, oh, Origin should always be close, so it's a good amount of points with the Maroons. But the truth is that they are kind of outmatched across the park here. And I think there's another big factor as well, and that is the team continuity. And you talked about this New South Wales side has won the last 2 years. They've kept the core of the team together. It's the same one, same seven, same nine. You've got Whiten, who's your kind of secondary 5/8 in there. All bar one of the forwards, Junior Paulo, has already been capped for New South Wales. And yeah, they've got three debutants. But one is Luke Keary, who's played for Australia, won the comps 3 times, won a Clive Churchill. The other is Gutho, a club captain, as we said before, was second in Dally M voting. Mm. So Queensland's got 6 debutants. On top of that, Queensland has 5 of them coming from the grand final, and 5 Storm players that have been on a bender and came into the camp late. So it's less time to actually gel and prepare when you think about how many contact sessions they would have had in the final week of the prep. New South Wales only adds Addo Carr and Nathan Cleary from the grand final, and Cleary wasn't celebrating. And I think I'm scared to say he could be out for redemption in this one. So you'd have to also agree continuity gives a further edge to the Blues.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the biggest points there are, like you say, Queensland, if you follow any of the Storm players on social media, they have been very active on the drink, as they should be. They won the competition. But I believe Cameron Munster actually phoned the Maroons staff and asked for an extension on his bender so he could join camp a little bit later. So that obviously, removes time for to build up the cohesion at training, like you said. But probably another important one that we didn't consider previously is potentially this could lead to a few injuries for the Maroons, because they have been on a lot of drinking. They'll have less of the build-up and training to get their bodies right. And Origin will be faster than the regular season. So whether that factors into it or not is also something to consider.
I heard that Munster story, and it obviously worries me as a Queenslander, because it's like, how seriously is he taking this? Mm. But what I love about it is the pure audacity. Like, how big are your balls to call Mal Meninga and say, can I come to camp? Late. Like, he plays with that confidence that, he's not afraid of anybody. And for an underdog, you need a guy like Cameron Munster who just gives zero fucks, to be honest, and 100%. Is going to go out there and try and help them plot an upset, which is always possible. That's why they play the games. Now, as punters, While you and I agree with New South Wales being the value, it's worth saying Alex, who sends his apologies, his computer blew up when he cut out halfway through this pod. He actually liked Queensland or leaned to Queensland plus the 8, and he talks about how Queensland's quite underrated and their forward pack really, he believes, can match it with New South Wales. There's other ways we can make money in this game, though. We need to think about how the game will be played. And I go back looking at the lineups, and what I notice, which is quite unusual for an Origin game, is each team only has one specialist prop on the bench. And I think that tells you a lot about the style which they expect the game to be played, that not having too many big bodies means they think the game will be spread out. They think the game will be played fast and loose at a high pace. That tends to show me that there's going to be a lot of footy played and it could be high scoring.
Yep, definitely. Absolutely agree. I think this is going to be a high scoring game. Just the 6-again rule in itself, we know from experience over the past however many years that Origin just naturally is played at a bit of a faster pace. So therefore, when you add in the 6-again rule, it's going to be a lot faster. And then you look at the attacking prowess of both teams, but particularly the Blues out wide, there's going to be a lot of points.
And while Origin is every player, whoever plays their first game always says it was played faster, Origin is typically lower scoring, and that's because the refs don't want to, you know, blow too many penalties and slow up the game, and they don't want to be the story. So players get away with a lot slowing down the ruck. They get away with a short 10 metres. The 6-again rule now means the ref doesn't have to blow penalties. He can just wave 6-again, and you combine a fast-paced game with, you know, repeat sets, and there's going to be tired bodies out there. And I think also as well, the fact that this game is being played in Adelaide, if we haven't already mentioned, it's a showcase to new fans. It's a narrative I think the NRL would love to have of these games being high scoring and more entertaining, because everyone praises them when there's more points. I think that their refs come out and set the tone in the first half of, we're not going to be afraid to just blow 6-again, and you don't have time to argue and you've got to get on with it. And as we saw in the NRL finals, we saw a points bonanza in games that were typically, you know, historically lower scoring. It wasn't the case this year because of the new rules allowing these games to open up, and we saw quick fire 2 or 3 tries in a row by teams. That could be the case again on Wednesday night.
Absolutely, for certain. Being in Adelaide, this is a chance for the NRL to showcase their product to a new range of fans, and fans that the hardcore NRL fans would probably consider casuals. And that's because they obviously aren't going to be there for the Thursday night games where the Bulldogs take on the Broncos or teams towards the bottom of the ladder there. And so the biggest way for the NRL to make back money in a year where they've lost a lot is to have a product that appeals to casuals to attract new people into the sport. And the way to do that from experience is definitely via points. People from Adelaide that are probably big AFL fans that don't watch the NRL too often are not going to go to work the next day and say, oh my God, how great was the defense? It was so good that it was only one try scored. We want them going to work and saying, how good's that 6-again rule where the ref does this? And how good that there was 40 points? I can't wait for game 2. That's what we want. That's what the NRL wants. And that's what makes sense.
I think you're absolutely right. You touched on it there. And not just the people who attend the game, but this is the moneymaker in terms of the broadcast rights. And this is kind of the crown jewel in the TV rights contract. And casual fans, as you described, all over the country are going to be tuning in on Wednesday night, because this is like now standalone footy. The other footy seasons have kind of wrapped up. A lot of people are going to be watching it. And you're right. While you're a true rugby league fan, we can appreciate if the game finished 2-0. You know, your general public fan, that's not what they want to see, and I don't think that's what it's going to be. Another thing, of course, Wayne Bennett coaching the Queensland team, and we saw what he did with the Souths this year, and they played in a lot of high-scoring games. They were very potent in attack, and Queensland fans will be hoping Bennett can sprinkle a bit of that magic into this Maroon side. Fittler, of course, every Origin team builds, you know, winning culture on pride and desperation in defence, and New South Wales have had that. But he always encourages attacking footy. They always have extremely high stats in their support runs and freedom, as we saw at the very end of the decider last year, freedom to spread the ball and get the ball to strike players in space. It all bodes well for our best bet, which is the first half to be over 18.5 points. That is paying $2.05 on Bet365, so that's the first half total. We're going to take over 18.5. We should say this year on best bets, we went 169 and 101, which is 63% on 50-50 markets, which was one of our greatest seasons we've had. How do you like the sound of that bet, Clarkie? And do you have a bet for the followers as well?
Yeah, I love the sound of that bet. I think it's a very smart bet. It makes a lot of sense. We're going to see a lot of points. Both teams very, very good in attack. I like that one as well. And with my bet, I'm going to jump on the back of that. I'm going to place that as my first multi, first leg in my multi, sorry. My second leg is going to be Jack Whiten to score at any time. I think he's had a fantastic year. He's obviously won a Clive Churchill and a Dalian medal now, so he's primed in the big games. And then I'm going to take the Blues to win outright. I'm going to combine those three legs in a same-game multi, and that will be my State of Origin bet.
And that is paying $5.25 if you like the sound of that. And I think all those three legs are very plausible for sure. So appreciate you being here, Clarky. Appreciate all the fantastic work you did this year, like collaborating with us, but just on your own page. We always implore everyone to follow you, and you're doing great work. And no doubt about it, we'll get you on our weekly punting show, which I should spruik now. Is usually Wednesday night, but because we're not going up against Origin, we're putting it on Thursday night. And that is a weekly punting variety show where we talk about anything. It's called Wide World of Punting. And this week we're going to recap game two, as well as a bunch of other great stories from the week and looking at every other big event. And we'll get you on as well, because as we know, the rugby league season starts, but it never really ends. There's always plenty of talking points through the summer. But thanks again for joining us and sharing your thoughts for game one. And I've no doubt about it. I'm sure it should be a cracking game. But thanks for your time, mate.
Thanks for having me, guys. And go the Maroons.
Cheers, mate.